Welcome to NHL Draft Class. I'm Adam Kimmelman here, as always, with Mike Morial. Mike, we had the lottery last night. We know who got the winning Powerball ticket known as Connor Bedard.
Adam, Chicago had an 11.5% chance, third best chance, and there they go, right to the top. You saw the fan fest. The people were going crazy at the party, excited. Bedard chance. Chicago, congratulations. You're getting a generational star. This kid not only is fantastic on the ice, off the ice, a gentleman, does everything he does, for, you know, if it's anything like he did with Regina in the Western Hockey League, off the ice, autographs, you know, taking pictures, going to social events, hanging out with the fans, it's going to be fantastic.
And I got to give you a little bit of credit. You ferreted out maybe the best stat slash info of draft lottery night, that Connor Bedard will not be the first member of his family to play for the Chicago Blackhawks.
Yeah, later on in the evening, I was texting with a lot of people, Adam, and I found out that Connor's great-great-uncle, James Bedard, played 22 games over two seasons with the Blackhawks from 1949 to 1951. How does this happen, Adam? How does it happen? James Bedard, where has he been? He was a left-shot defenseman. Played with the Blackhawks way back when in the, you know, early 50s. So he is the great uncle of Tom Bedard, who is, of course, Connor's father. So you can't make this stuff up. When I saw that story, I was like, this is unbelievable. I can't believe this is, you know, what a story. What, you know, could it get any better than this?
I'm going to go out on a limb and say Connor will have a slightly longer, slightly better career than great-great-uncle James.
Yeah. Yeah,
I feel somewhat confident in saying that.
Yeah, I think so, too. But hey, you know, knowing that James got the ball rolling, he was in Chicago. I do know this, too, Adam, that Tom Bedard, the patriarch, and Connor were in Chicago. And so they know what the city's all about. And, you know, they enjoyed it very much. The mom, Melanie, and the sister, Maddie, have never been to Chicago. So that'll be interesting for them. But hey, we still have to, you know, be fair here. This is a process. So right now, Chicago has the number one pick. They won it. So you would expect them to take Connor Bedard. And we are going to talk about our mock drafts, Adam. This is what we love to do. The lottery. We got the top 16. Mock drafts, buddy. I'm the winner again. I'm going to be the winner.
Well, as you said, it is a process, so let's not start counting our victories quite yet. However, you can check our mock drafts out on NHL.com. But, Mike, we were in agreement, and not much of a surprise there, that the Blackhawks would take Connor Bedard. We've talked about it seemingly all year, that he is a generational prospect, and just pick the game to go watch him, right? Any of the games he played in Regina, he was the best player in the Western Hockey League in the regular season. Dominated in his short run in the Western Hockey League playoffs, dominated at the World Junior Championship as a 17-year-old in a 19-year-old tournament. You know, just go and watch the goal he scored against Slovakia in overtime in the quarterfinals. That shows you everything you need to see or you need to know about what Connor Bedard is capable of. The hands, the speed, the reaction time, the skating, the strength on his skates, the edge work, to dangle through three players and a goalie from the dots down in overtime of a win or go home game at the highest level of hockey he had played to that point. The poise, the ability, the skill, everything you want to see was right there on display in that play. He's done it against older competition his whole life. I don't see anything that's going to change when he gets to the NHL next season.
No, you said it perfectly there, Adam, you know, and on top of that, we can add that rebuilds and starting over are certainly items on Bedard's resume. He's used to it. He helped bring Regina to new heights with a relatively young group the past two seasons. They finally returned to the WHL playoffs this season after a couple year hiatus. He had to battle through the pandemic. Don't forget, travel to Sweden. He trained and practiced with HV71 there. And you mentioned, there's no need to reiterate what you said of his talents on the ice, Adam, but I just want to touch on his off-the-ice demeanor. Since I was in Regina for that weekend in March, was able to sit down with him, watched how he interacted with his teammates, how he was in the hallway doing stretches, you know, prior to games. Just a professional. Everything about him is professional. And I think one of the telling points, there was the interview that Kevin Weeks did on ESPN prior to the lottery with Connor Bedard. And the thing that I took out of that interview was the fact that here is Bedard talking about his some of his favorite players, and he was talking about Sidney Crosby. And, hey, he can go into what makes Sid a great player on the ice, his skating, the 200-foot game, wearing the C. But what did he talk about? He talked about what Crosby has been able to do for the city of Pittsburgh off the ice, you know, what he's been able to bring to signing autographs, taking pictures, going to events to help out the community. That's what he was talking about with Weeks. And that's what Bedard did so much of in Regina. So not only are you getting that talent, what you talked about, Adam, on the ice with Connor Bedard, but his off the ice is just as impressive, just as an impressive resume off the ice and what he's brought to Regina. They're going to miss him, but he's going to Chicago now. Well, if when they draft him, and it'll be quite an opportunity and quite a scene for the fans there, because, you know, you're seeing now these jerseys are going to be flying off the shelves, and ticket sales have gone up since Chicago won the draft lottery. So it's going to be something special entering next season, no doubt.
Well, for sure, and especially with Chicago moving into this next phase, they kind of closed the door on this 3 Stanley Cup championships they had with that last team by, you know, they traded Patrick Kane. They already announced Jonathan Toews will not be back. You know, they are focused on the future, and this is the building block, the foundation of what that future is going to be. And look, you know, the Blackhawks had a rough season. There's no two ways about it. This is what they need to do going forward. Now, this is the player they are going to build everything around here going forward as they look to return to where they were in 2010 and 2013 and 2015 when they're contending for not just playoffs, but Stanley Cups. And Connor Bedard is going to be everything that they build around here moving forward. So now that, assuming they have this piece in place, it's going to be fun to see what they do around him, because you can't just, you know, wave Connor Bedard pixie dust on your franchise and wait for the Stanley Cup to grow in 2 years. He needs help. He can't do it all himself. Look, as great as he was in Regina, in 3 years, they played 7 playoff games. He needs help. He's going to be a big part of it, but now it's incumbent on Kyle Davidson and the staff there in Chicago to add around him, and that's now where the hard work begins. You've got the foundational piece. Now what else do you add with him? So that's going to be – that's the next step now.
Absolutely. And one other thing to add to that, too, is the fact that, you know, Luke Richardson, you know, I thought proved himself quite well throughout the course of the season, last season. It was a tough time for Chicago, but I thought he worked well with all the players there. They seemed to really, you know, as far as gameplay and off ice and what they were doing, they were really into things despite the fact they had a rough season. So I think Luke's done a nice job there. I think to have a Connor Bedard come into the organization, if they do draft him, would be a feather in his cap to get a player of that caliber to work with day in, day out, see the leadership, see the ability of this player. So for Luke Richardson, I'm happy for him too, that he's able to get a player of this caliber after what you just laid out there, Adam, that the players that they've lost or didn't have at their disposal during the 22-23 season. So good for Luke Richardson.
Well, there's more than Connor Bedard available in the 23 draft class, as we have spent a lot of time talking about Connor Bedard, but there are other players. So let's go through the Anaheim Ducks at number 2. They had the best odds of winning, but at number 2, I don't think it's quote-unquote a consolation prize if they opt for Adam Fantilli, the center from the University of Michigan. You know, he won the Hobey Baker Award. He was the dominant player in NCAA hockey as an 18-year-old. And I think, you know, we're in agreement that he'll fit in great with Anaheim, because he brings the one thing that Connor Bedard does not have, and that's a 6'2", 195-pound frame that can potentially even get bigger and stronger. So to me, you know, Fantilli is as good as getting the number one pick. And we talked to Pat, I talked to Pat Verbeek last night. You know, he said they're ecstatic at number 2 because, you know, you assume Bedard's going to go number 1. They control what happens next. they can take the next best player in the draft. And Fantilli is a really nice option there at number two. Look, championship teams are one through the middle. And when you can add a power center, a guy with the size and the skill set that Fantilli brings, look, they had it with Ryan Getzlaf for all those years in Anaheim. Now they're getting, you know, a player who sort of fits that mold in Adam Fantilli. You know, there wasn't a lot of, if there was no debate over who would go number one, there was, for me at least, there was no debate who would go number two.
Yeah. And in 2005, the Ducks took Bobby Ryan as the second pick of the draft after losing out to Pittsburgh in the lottery. And they watched the Penguins take Sidney Crosby. So Ryan gave Anaheim four consecutive 30-goal seasons. It was a fan favorite in the six seasons. But yeah, there, I mean, there was no comparing his impact with the legacy Crosby left, of course. But now, looking at an Adam Fantilli with the Ducks, I mean, you look at a Mason McTavish, Adam Fantilli, Trevor Zegras. I mean, that's a pretty stout line, if you ask me. Look, Fantilli proved it. You mentioned winning the Hobie Baker. Adam plays the power play. He can kill penalties. He was out there for key faceoffs. He proved to be a team player for Canada at the World Juniors when he was playing a middle six role on wing. And it actually helped him. You know, when we spoke to Brandon Arado, that's what he mentioned to us on a former episode of NHL Draft Class. We spoke to Arado about Fantilli, and, you know, he mentioned how second half of the season when he returned from World Juniors, how much more dominating and focused Fantilli was. Still unsure what's going to happen next year. Obviously, he's going to listen to Ducks management and hear what they have to say. If he's going to return to Michigan, if he maybe will turn pro, it's still to be determined. But look, Adam Fantilli is an exceptional talent. If Connor Bedard wasn't in this draft, he obviously being the running for the number one overall pick, of course. He's adapted very well because he's a great skater to the pace of the game in college. And as I said, he's just deadly on the power play. So yeah, Adam Fantilli at number two would seem to be the logical choice for me as well. Now at number three, Adam, the Columbus Blue Jackets, first disagreement of the mock draft. So
this is where you're wrong, but go ahead. I'll let you defend your pick.
All right. We'll see. We'll see about that. Matvei Michkov of SKA St. Petersburg in Russia. He actually was loaned to Sochi in the KHL this year, and you had Leo Carlson, fantastic pick there for Columbus. If that's the route they want to take, but for me, it's Michkov. So for me, I'm looking at this point, and I guess you would be in agreement. You'll speak your piece in a minute, but to me, I'm still looking at best available player. Which player has the higher ceiling of all those that are remaining? Carlson is an exceptional player. He's got a good ceiling, but there's no ceiling after you get, I'll even put Fantilli into the Michkov conversation as well. Bedard is heads and shoulders above everyone else. Now, that next tier of players, Michkov, realistically, honestly, you can say might have the best ceiling of any other prospect left on this board. And that's no knock on Carlson whatsoever. But Michkov, to me, could turn out to be the second best player of this draft class when all is said and done. I also think this, if not for the situation in Russia, he might be too. He's that elite of talent. And as Dan Marr told us on a previous episode of NHL Draft Class, and you can check that one out, listen on your favorite podcast platforms, if you're strictly evaluating the on-ice play, then Michkov is one of the elite players in this draft class. He has the potential to be in the conversation as one of the elite players of this decade, same as Connor Bedard. So if you factor in a healthy and stronger player, Michkov will be able to influence games and have that similar impact on the score sheet that Bedard has. And I'm just talking about numbers here too, Adam, to further defend my case here. 0.67 points per game is the best ever for a KHL player in their draft eligible season, besting Vladimir Tarasenko and Artemi Panarin. If you want to know why there's been so much talk about Michkov, go back to the 21 World Under-18 Championship when he had 12 goals, 16 points, 7 games to lead all scorers. So that those amount of points was enough, you know, on its face, but it stands out even more when you consider who Michkov beat out for the tournament lead. Second with 9 goals was Shane Wright, who was a year older than Michkov at the time. And he went, of course, 4th overall in the 22 draft. But there was a player in 3rd place in that tournament. That was Connor Bedard, posted 7 goals in 7 games. So there's my case. I rest it. I really think Matvei Michkov is going number 3 to Jarmo Kekäläinen and the Columbus Blue Jackets.
All those things you said about Michkov, he is a fantastic player. And he will remain a fantastic player for 4 more years in Russia. You know what Columbus needs now? They need help now. Their best 2 players, Johnny Gaudreau and Patrick Laine. Patrick Laine is not signed after the 25-26 season. Johnny Gaudreau will have 2 years left on his deal. 3 years, excuse me, left on his deal by the time the 26-27 season starts. Michkov coming over does not help where Columbus is now. They need more earlier help. They need help now. Leo Carlson is a guy who could step into their lineup as an 18-year-old as a top 6 center. That is where the Blue Jackets need the most help. That is the biggest area of need for them, and that's where Leo Carlson can fill in. You could put him on a line, potentially, with Johnny Gaudreau and Patrick Laine as soon as next season. You're talking Columbus's 2 best players. They're 2 highest-paid players. Those guys need help. Boone Jenner is a nice player. He is not a number 1 center. They absolutely need it. Kent Johnson is a nice player. I don't know if he's a number 1 center in the NHL. Leo Carlson has the look of being a number 1 center. Those are your 2 best forwards, Gaudreau and Laine. They need help now. They don't need help in 2026, 2027. If it was another situation, absolutely, I would agree with you. Take Michkov, put up your feet, wait, build around him, wait till he's 22 or 23 and he comes over in 4 years. But because of what the Blue Jackets have done in the past, giving the big contract to Gaudreau, giving the big contract to Laine, they need help now. That is why I think Leo Carlson makes the most sense for them. He is the next best available center, the next best NHL-ready available center. That is why he's the guy to me, you know, ahead of Michkov and ahead of Will Smith, because Will Smith is going to need at least 1 year in college before he's ready to come to the NHL. Leo Carlson, he has NHL size at 6'3 and 198 pounds. He's played 2 seasons already against men in the Swedish Hockey League. He's looked good doing it. He's looked good playing against older competition at World Juniors, even though he played on the wing. I think he's the guy for me to potentially step into the lineup as soon as next season for Columbus. They need help in the middle. So listen, is Michkov the second most talented player in the draft? Raw skills? Yeah, you could probably say that, but I don't think he's a fit for the Blue Jackets because of what they need and when their timeline is to need it. I look at Carlson and, you know, you have Carlson going number 4 to San Jose. So what made Carlson the better fit in San Jose in your eyes?
Well, look, you know, all those points you just mentioned about Carlson are absolutely true. I just don't know when it comes to just getting back to Columbus. I just don't know if drafting a player, you know, thinking that they're going to help your team right after the draft that next season is a way to think about the draft. I just think at where they're choosing at number 3, I just think it's, you know, you're looking at the highest ceiling. Where is this player going to be 5, 6, 7 years down the road? So that was my thinking. But I love Carlson, and that's why I have him, you know, going to San Jose at the next pick. Look, San Jose has some solid centermen in the pipeline. Philip Reistad in the American Hockey League, Thomas Bortolo, Ozzie Weisblatt, Cameron Lund of Northeastern. I feel they can use a versatile forward who might be better off on wing. We'll see. And I think we agree, Adam, that Carlson is going to be a center. You agree, right? He'll be a center.
I would think so, yeah. He's got the size. He's got all the abilities of being a center.
Right.
I don't think there's really any question. I mean, look. He played on the wing of the World Juniors because of Philip Bystedt, because they had, you know, older, more developed players to play through the middle. Somebody's got to go to the wing. But yeah, I think Carlson absolutely is a center at the next level.
Right. And the only reason I asked you is because we all know he did play wing at the World Juniors, as you said. So look, big, powerful two-way forward. I was really impressed with the way he played at World Juniors. He's had a real solid second half of the season. Pretty fast for a player of his size. Can see the ice well, smart and good in reading plays. I just think, you know, overall for San Jose, getting a player, if he is there, a Leo Carlson would be good for them. And you, you know, William Smith, another great player. I see you have Smith going to San Jose here with your fourth pick.
Game-breaking talent. You saw it the war at the under-18s. 20 points in seven games, tied Jack Hughes' U.S. record at the under-18 tournament. Things have gone well for Jack Hughes. I think Will Smith sort of has that same projection. You know, he'll need to get a little bit stronger. He's going to go to Boston College for at least one season. But look, they need some electricity. They need some juice in San Jose. You know, yes, you met the guys you mentioned, Bistad and Lund and Bordalo and Weisblatt. They look like they're going to be nice players. Will Smith brings a little bit of a different element. He brings that get you out of your seat, game-breaking skill. And I think, you put him on a line with William Eklund, the guy they drafted, you know, the forward they drafted in 2021 with the number 7 pick. He got a little bit of a run with the Sharks this season, mostly played in the American League, but he looks like he's got pretty good talent. You know, you put Will Smith there, you've still got Logan Couture, you've still got Thomas Hertl. You know, you can see the things sort of falling into place now in San Jose where they need more, but the foundation starting to go in. You know, and if Smith is ready after one season in college, Eklund should be ready. You know, Thomas Bordalo should be ready for a bigger bite next season in San Jose. You know, things are going to come together somewhat quickly there. But to me, Smith has too much talent for them to pass on. He's got that, you know, high-end skill, 127 points with the national team program. You know, yeah, there's a special player there. They were that line of Will Smith, Ryan Leonard, and Gabe Perreault was the best line outside of the NHL this season in the junior hockey ranks. You can get one of those, the best player on the best line. I don't think you hesitate. I think you grab him.
Yeah, number 5, the Montreal Canadiens. You have Matvei Michkov. We'll see if he's able to fall into the Canadiens' lap at that position. I had William Smith there, and just following up on some of the commentary you said on Smith there, you know, if he does last to this point at number 5, obviously to me, in my eyes, he'd be the best available and a great player to get into the Montreal pipeline. They've already got Philip Massar, a right wing who played with Kitchener this season. Lane Hutson, we know on defense, a top center in the pipeline, might be Owen Beck, play with Peterborough this season. So after Smith, there's a need for quality centermen. So you know, I think Will Smith is the guy to choose here. If he is around, right shot center, as you said, Adam, you know, he's going to BC next season. So he'll spend a few years there to mature and grow and learn and get stronger. We all know how great a skater he is. But for me, it was William Smith here.
Here's why I think Michkov fits best with Montreal, right? So you look at what they've sort of assembled there from a young talent standpoint. Caulfield, Suzuki, Doc, Slavkovsky. They have room to let these young guys build and then add. By the time those guys are fully formed, fully ready to be star NHL players, then you add in Michkov 4 years from now when he's 22. That might be the missing piece where it's not a free agent signing that they bring in. It's a 22-year-old Matvei Michkov on an entry-level deal that you drop into an in-his-prime Caulfield, an in-his-prime Suzuki. Put him on a line with Kirby Doc and Yuri Slavkovsky, who, you know, we think is going to be a really, really good player when he's healthy and ready for the fully ready for the NHL pace. Raw skill, maybe second only to Connor Bedard in this draft. They have the horses in place, the young pieces in place that will allow them to get to being a contender while they're waiting for Michkov to come over. And then similar to the impact Kaprizov had when he got to Minnesota as a fully developed professional player, where, you know, you plug and play with Kirill Kaprizov, you might be able to plug and play in Montreal with Matvei Michkov, you know, and you add to what you have there with your core, with your young guys. I think to me, that's the perfect match. And I think Montreal has the pieces in place that will allow them to be patient. They also have 2 picks in the first round this year in the draft. So, you know, you have a little bit of wiggle room to take a big swing early, knowing that you've got a little bit more left over later in the draft, wherever that pick they got from Florida ends up. So to me, I think Mitch Cobb's a really good fit here at number five with Montreal. Now, here we are again disagreeing at number six, the Arizona Coyotes, the first of their two lottery selections. I go Ryan Leonard here. Again, just they need a goal scorer, right? They need guys who can put the puck in the net. And Ryan Leonard did that. You know, we talked to Dan Marr. He compared him to a little bit of a Matthew Tkachuk type with the skill and the grit and the pot stir. They've added some nice playmakers there with Logan Cooley. You add a guy like Ryan Leonard, who is a really strong goal scorer, power forward type. I think that's a really good match for Arizona and kind of fills a need for what they have. They have Dylan Gunther coming. He's another goal scorer. Now you add a piece like Ryan Leonard. I think that's a really nice, would be a nice addition to what they're building there.
Yeah, I do think the Coyotes might grab a winger here with their first pick of the first round. The Coyotes have two picks. Now, whether that's a Ryan Leonard or the pick that I have here, Zach Benson from Winnipeg in the Western Hockey League. Benson was great when I went on my scouting trip to Regina in March. He was playing on a line with Matthew Savoy. He's a terrific skater. He's relentless, goes into the zone, fights for pucks. He does a lot of the dirty work. I just think he's a player that, you know, Arizona will come to appreciate, their fans. Obviously, you know, he'll marinate and, you know, grow and develop with Winnipeg for another, you know, maybe a couple of years before turning pro. We'll see. You know, I thought his defensive game improved greatly under, you know, former NHL defenseman James Patrick, who's the coach over there for the Winnipeg Ice. So goes about 5'9", 163 pounds. A lot to like about Zach Benson. I know NHL Central Scouting loved him, you know, at the midterm and on the final ranks. He was regarded very highly. They spoke of him very highly. So to me, I think Zach Benson would be a great choice here. And the fact that Arizona has two picks in the first round, Adam, and that's, you know, one thing that, you know, you can't ignore those clubs. And we talk about it all the time. There's clubs with multiple picks. You know, yeah, you want to get best available, but if you have multiple picks, maybe you can take a risk on one player over another, take another position later on in the first round. So in this case, I think Zach Benson is probably the best of the crop that we're seeing at number six. So, you know, give me Zach Benson at number six for Arizona. Now, number seven, I like Oliver Moore, and that's who you have going to the Philadelphia Flyers at number seven. Now I have Ryan Leonard, and to me, you know, you were talking about, you know, how Matvei Michkov is going to be the perfect, you know, fit for Montreal. Now, that's, of course, if he lasts that long, you know, in one tone, you were saying that he's probably has, as far as skill goes, you know, the skill set that's second only to Connor Bedard. But then you have him go number five to the Montreal Canadiens. So to me, Ryan Leonard is that type of player for the Flyers. Now, I know you had Leonard going a spot earlier, but to me, he's the prototypical Flyer with the compete, the grit, the willingness to be that player that kind of stirs the pot when his team needs a spark. And you talked about the goal scoring, 51 goals, 94 points in 57 games with the program this year. So why not another, you know, NTD player for the Flyers to go with Carter Gauthier, who they drafted last year, and Bobby Brink is in the fold there. Tyson Forrester, the American Hockey League at Lehigh Valley. I know I believe he came up with the Flyers as well. So best prospects in the system right now for the Flyers are probably those three players. Add a Ryan Leonard, get him into the pipeline. And, you know, I think overall he'll be, you know, a top guy to look at after his, you know, maybe 2-3 years of college at BC.
Well, sure. And the Flyers have done well with NTTP players. You look at Joel Farabee, you look at Cam York, you mentioned Carter Gauthier, who will be at Boston College. And that might make Leonard more, you know, it might be make Leonard more attractive to them, because you could have a line next season at BC of Gauthier in the middle, Leonard on the wing. And then you just sort of let those guys start building that relationship now. But for me, I was looking at a guy in Oliver Moore who just has a fully fleshed out skill set. Guy who can do anything, and he does it at pace. You know, scouts have compared him to Dylan Larkin, right? The guy who can execute every phase of the game, and everything he does it at high pace. That's what the Flyers need. You know, one thing that they've talked about, whether it was Chuck Fletcher when he was the GM, Danny Briere now has that interim title, assuming he's going to end up as the full-time GM. They have both talked about the need to add more skill into the lineup. For years, the Flyers drafted, you know, these gritty guys who could be 20, 25 goal scorers, but they'll, you know, be physical and cause havoc in the net and all that stuff. They need to move past that. They need guys who are high-end, high-skill players with some flash and dash, guys who can create off the rush, be more than just the power forward type. And listen, Ryan Leonard has that ability, but I look at what Oliver Moore brings and the pace he plays at. To me, you know, he's going to go to the University of Minnesota, a good place for him to develop under Bob Motzko there. He might not need a lot of development time. That pace that he plays at, the speed that he plays, the way he executes in all areas of the game, to me, if he's there, I think that's a really good pick for them because that's what they need. He fills a need for them, and I think he's the best player available in that spot. Now, at number eight, this is where, you know, again, we're looking at entirely different positions here. For me, I look at where Washington is in their development, what they need. I think they need a little bit, they need to get younger on the back end. You know, John Carlson is 31. You saw what happened when he went out of the lineup. They need more on the back end there. And I think David Reinbacher, the Austrian-born defenseman from who's playing in Switzerland, I think would be the ideal pick for them. You know, he's kind of been on the journey that Moritz Seider has been on. And we see the kind of player he's developed into in Detroit. Man, I think you can add him to your lineup. The Caps have done well with Connor McMichael and Hendrix LaPierre. They look like they're ready to be full-time players maybe as soon as next season. Well, now you can start kind of focusing on the back end a little bit. And Reinbacher is a guy that, you know, you look at the numbers on the back of the hockey card, maybe they don't jump out at you. He's an 18-year-old playing in Switzerland. You know, he played on a really not a good team at the World Juniors, and he had some illness issues there. But when he was in the lineup, he made a difference every shift for that Austria team at the World Juniors. And you just kind of see that building there. He's just going to get better and better as he gets bigger and stronger. You grab a guy like that, if he's available, and there are not a lot of good defensemen available, top-end defensemen available in the first round of this year's draft, they need it. He's a really good player. He projects to be a very good player, right shot defenseman, can play on your top pair. I think Reinbacher's there. I think Washington grabs him.
Yeah, I just think it's a little early for the defenseman at this point when you have so many good forwards still in the mix, still on the board. And while you still want to maybe fill roles, fill your pipeline with players that maybe there's a little bit of an absence there at a certain position, I just think it's too early, particularly in the top 10. And that's why I go with Dalibor Dvorsky from AIK in Sweden, this pick for the Capitals at number eight. Look, you mentioned it, Adam. I mean, you said that, yes, John Carlson is an aging defenseman. They got some, you know, prospects in the pipeline like Connor McMichael and Hendrix LaPierre that could possibly move up to the lineup next year. You would anticipate that happening. McMichael and LaPierre aren't at the level that Dvorsky is from early in the season. Even last season, there was talk, a lot of talk about Dvorsky being possibly a top five, top 10 pick in this draft. So to me, you know, you look at guys, again, you mentioned Carlson, you look at a guy like, you know, Nicklas Backstrom. I mean, they're a veteran Latin group in both areas at forward and on D. So they need to re-up somewhere, both areas. So why not go with the best available? And usually that's what the Capitals do in situations like this. They're going best available. I think for my money, Dalibor Dvorsky, good skater, great with the puck on a stick. And look, if he does go, and we expect him to go somewhere in the first round. He'll become the fourth Slovakia-born player to be chosen in the first round of the draft over these past 2 years, which is quite remarkable. You know, Slavkovsky to the Canadiens, number one last year, Simon Nemitz to the Devils, number two, and Philip Mesar to the Canadiens, number 26 in the 22 draft. So congratulations at Slovakian hockey. And Slovakia really made a good representation of himself, right, Adam, at the World Juniors. And we did think that Dvorsky had a real good tournament. He was solid. He did what he needed to do. He showed that good vision. He was willing to go into dirty areas of the ice. In the corners, we saw him, you know, in front of the net doing some of that work. It wasn't just a freelance, get me the puck and open space and watch me do what I can do type of thing. This was a player that, you know, does some of the grunt work, has the size to do it at 6'1", 201. So to me, I thought Dalibor Dvorsky would be a solid choice for the Capitals here. Now at number nine, the Detroit Red Wings. What is on Stevie Eisenman's mind? So this is where you go, Zach Benson, who I had going a little earlier, and I have Oliver Moore. If he does drop this far, we'll see at this point. Now, for me, Moore, like I said, if he survives here, you know, Eisenman has had four NHL drafts since taking over as GM, two first-round picks, and, he's hit with them. Moritz Seider wins the Calder in 22. You know, Lucas Raymond, number four in 2020. Posted a lot of goals as a rookie as well. Probably the best prospect in the pipeline right now is Simon Edvinson. Played had a good season at in Grand Rapids in the American Hockey League. Marco Kasper in Sweden and their goaltender Sebastian Kosa. All good prospects. So to me, if Moore does last here, I think this is a typical type prospect for Stevie Y. Has that elite speed, a potential top line NHL player someday, and he'll attend the University of Minnesota, as you mentioned, under Motzko. So that's going to be a feather in his cap to learn under Bob Motzko. So it's possible he's moved to wing at the next level. He did have 75 points, 31 goals, and 61 games with the program this year, left-handed shot. So, I do like Oliver Moore here.
I like Zach Benson. I think he's the most talented, most skilled player available. So to me, that's what the Red Wings need the most of. They need more skill in the lineup. You mentioned Raymond, Marco Kasper is probably, made his NHL debut this season. He's probably going to be ready to jump into the lineup, you would have to think, next season. But then the addition of a Zach Benson down the road, look, Winnipeg was the best team in the Western League, and he was their leading scorer. More points than Connor Geeky, more points than Matt Savoy, two first-round NHL draft picks. It's his work ethic, though, that's really stood out to me when I watched him. You know, he's willing to go anywhere on the ice. To me, it reminds me a little bit of Brendan Gallagher, right? He's got that feistiness to his game, despite being an undersized guy. I think they need a little bit of that as well as the skill. They need some bite in that lineup. You know, they got pushed around a little bit this season when I watched the Red Wings. There wasn't a whole lot of physical in their lineup. And I think Benson, you know, again, he's not the biggest guy in the world. He's going to have to get bigger, going to have to get stronger. But you can add that bite with that skill. I think that's an easy choice, assuming Benson is there in that spot. And you know, you mentioned, we talked about Dalibor Dvorsky. To me, I have him going at number 10 to St. Louis. I think he fits the mold for what they have there, right? You look at where they're kind of headed to, where, you know, with Robert Thomas and Jordan Kyrou being the focal point now, and got, you know, Ryan O'Reilly's gone. Braden Schenn is more of a complimentary piece, I think, than a frontline guy for them. I think you add a Dvorsky there, that brings back what they had with that size and that skill. You know, Thomas and Kyrou are nice players. They're skilled players, but they don't have the size. Dvorsky at 6'1", and he's going to be, you know, he's already over 200 pounds. To me, you got a guy like that with the high IQ. I think that's a guy that fits the mold of what they do in St. Louis. And I was back and forth on him, and you had Edward Chalet going there. That was like, I was really close on those two guys. I think that the fact that Dvorsky can play in the middle, I think that kind of pushed him over the edge for me with Chalet there. But I like both of those guys, and I think either one of them would be a big, big, they're going to be nice players.
No, I totally agree with you. I don't have Dvorsky going to St. Louis because I had him going to pick earlier. So, Edward Chalet to me was a player I really, really respected and liked at World Juniors on tape, watching him, a really talented forward, great offensive instincts, can shoot and pass with accuracy. I thought he played a major role for the Czechs. He has that great size too at 6'2", 174. Edward Chalet, and it could go either way here, Adam, at this point. But the one question I had, and something to think about, how do you think the Blues are feeling this morning, right? The Chicago Blackhawks get the first overall pick, and here's St. Louis, a team that's had a fight and struggle to really find those gems in the draft. The last time the Blues picked inside the top 10 of the draft was back in 2008 when they took Alex Pietrangelo, fourth overall. So, you know, the Blues are excited. They're in the draft lottery. Hey, maybe we'll move up. And then, bam, the Chicago Blackhawks, one overall, and they're getting Connor Bedard. So how do you think the Blues feel this morning, Adam?
You know, the odds aren't very good to begin with for them. Hey, listen, they'll have their chance. And look, if you're today looking at the St. Louis Blues, look, you still got the Robert Thomases of the world. You still got Jordan Kyrou. You know, Braden Schenn is still a contributor. They're going to add, you know, most likely Zach Beaudoux next season. He only scored 50 goals and 100 points in the Quebec League, right? So they've got talent coming. So let's not play the funeral march for the St. Louis Blues quite yet. And look, rivalries make wonderful games. And if you're going to see Connor Bedard in your building three times a year in St. Louis for the next 15 years, look, they got somebody to be angry at. As the wonderful Rage Against the Machine song goes, anger is a gift. So that's for our colleague Sean Rourke, who I know will appreciate
absolutely
dropping
absolutely
a Rage Against the Machine reference. But number 11, Edward Chalet. We talked about Chala, you know, and I think he's the best player available, but he also fills a little bit of a need for them. You know, they're very heavy on the right side with Lekkerimaki, Klimovich, Podkolzin. They've sort of looked there on the on the right side the last couple of years, high up in the draft. Chala, left hand, left shot, left wing, maybe fills a need for them down the road. Got good size. He skates. We talked about all the things that Chala brings. He had a nice run at the World Under 18s. So, you know, if he's there, I think it's a great pick for them. You kind of looked at them going down the middle more with Braden Jaeger.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, again, Chala would be a great pick for Vancouver. I think that'd be awesome if they're able to get him. But at this case, since I had Chala going a pick earlier, I think Braden Jaeger from Moose Jaw. I just think Canucks are looking for a little bit more size and skill that's needed in their pipeline right now up front. And Jaeger kind of fits that bill. We spoke to him on a previous episode of NHL Draft Class at the Top Prospects game. It was a great interview. He told us that he was perfecting his playmaking skills at that time. He was a goal scorer as a rookie, CHL Rookie of the Year. This year, he was a little bit more of a playmaker. He's playing extremely well in the WHL playoffs, has posted a lot of points for Moose Jaw and their run there. And, you know, like I said, the Canucks need that depth down the middle after the trade of Bo Horvat and Jaeger at 5'11", 166, I think, in my eyes, would be a good start. So at number 12, the second pick for the Arizona Coyotes, and this one from the Ottawa Senators, you have a great pick here, Adam. I love Gabriel Perreault and what he's been able to showcase with the NTTP this year. I went David Reinbacher for reasons that you kind of explained earlier when you had Reinbacher going in the draft. But just overall, I mean, Reinbacher to me, you know, plays that strong game. He looks to get involved, has that nice size. Arizona defense prospects, Maverick Lamoureux, he played with Drummondville this year. Victor Soderstrom is another one, and playing the American Hockey League. They're probably tops in the system right now. So adding another player since they got the forward earlier in the draft, I feel as though, you know, getting the defenseman here would be a feather in their cap.
Well, and there would be some kismet because they got that pick from trading Jacob Chychrun, a defenseman. So finding Reinbacher, I mean, look, if he's there, I think it's a great pick for Arizona. Yep. You know, Lamoureux missed a lot of time this season with injury. Soderstrom, you know, who knows what he's going to be. You know, he's had a couple seasons in the pros already, hasn't really matured. You know, Gabe Perreault, look, we talked about it earlier. Perreault, Leonard, and Smith, best line outside of the NHL and junior hockey. You have a chance to get two of those guys. You got to go for it, right? Like Gabriel Perreault, 132 points this season with the U.S. national team program. He broke Austin Matthews' single season NTDP under 18 team record. That tells you the skill that he has. That tells you the ability that he has, the high IQ. His dad played in the NHL, Yannick Perreault. His brother, you know, is a prospect with Anaheim, I believe, Jacob Perreault. So, like, you're getting a guy who grew up in the NHL, who has that high-end hockey sense, knows where to go, knows what to do when he gets there. His anticipation and his puck skills are high, high end. You know, his skating, he's got to get a little bit better, a little bit quicker. But I think as he gets stronger, and that's why the NCAA is so good for these guys because all they do, it's a weekend league. You only play games Friday, Saturday, Sunday for the most part. All the rest of that time, you can get stronger in the gym, work on your skills. I think the guys who come out of NCAA are so much further physically developed. So I think Perreault, once he gets that lower body leg strength, his skating is going to get better. And I think he's going to be, you know, a really high-end guy. When you add the strength to the smarts and you add in the skating when he gets there, I think he's got a chance to be a real good player. And then we go to number 13, the Buffalo Sabres. Mike, you went with Nate Danielson. What was it about Nate Danielson, the high riser in the final rankings, that kind of put him over the top for you?
Well, look, first of all, I just want to say I love the Matthew Wood pick. You have Matthew Wood going to the Sabres at number 13. I was switching on and off. Matthew Wood was a tremendous riser second half of the season at the University of Connecticut. So I can certainly see that. But I went Nate Danielson here, the centerman. And I know, look, I know Buffalo has a lot of centermen in their pipeline. You know, Yuri Kulich had an outstanding World Juniors with Czechia. Matt Savoy, Noah Oslin is another one that's in the system. Great centerman. But Nate Danielson, in addition to Matthew Wood, it's funny too, Adam, because Nate Danielson and Matthew Wood probably had two of the biggest, you know, jumps.
Yep.
In the final ranking. So to me, and I could see them going Wood, but I took Danielson in the center. There's a little bit more versatility there. Just a great opportunity for Sabres to add a skilled right-handed shot, has that vision, that patience. Goes about 6'2", 185. So 78 points for on a Brandon team that really struggled this year, I think says a lot about his character, about his drive, about what he wants to become. You know, how strong he has the belief he has in himself to become an NHL player. I think, you know, he proved himself this year on a team that struggled in 68 games. So he can play all situations, including the power play and penalty kill. So I go Nate Danielson, Buffalo Sabres. But I love the Matthew Wood pick here, Adam.
Well, that's because I'm the smart one on here, and that's
why
I
might not be right.
It
might not be right, but yeah, okay, yeah.
And you mentioned the depth of centers that they have, one of them being Tage Thompson. Who, where did Tage Thompson go to school, Mike? Pop quiz, do you know this?
Connecticut, right?
That's right. So let's put the two UConn Huskies together and see what happens. Two giant size UConn Huskies and put them together and see what potentially happens. But look, you know, you got Thompson, you've got Jack Quinn, you mentioned Oslin, you mentioned Kulik. You know, you're kind of set through the middle. You got a really nice, talented group. Peyton Krebs is another one through the middle. You know, you can add on the wing there. Man, you look at the potential of having Cousins, Alex Tuch, and now you add Matt Wood. Like, that's a really, really stacked, big, skilled. You can see what they're sort of, you can see the type that they have there in Buffalo, right? You can see what they're looking to do, how they're looking to build their team. You can add a guy like Matthew Wood, I think. And we had Dan Marr on in a previous episode of NHL Draft Class when we did talk about the final rankings, and he talked about guys who really, you know, impressed and grew their game exponentially in the second half of the season. And he made mention of Matthew Wood. The skating questions that they had completely gone by the time they were ready to meet for the final rankings. You know, if he continues on that trajectory, 13 maybe might be too low. You know, when we talk about this 5 years from now, we could be sitting here saying, geez, how did 12 teams pass on Matthew Wood? You know, the Buffalo Sabres get lucky there. I want to go back to Nate Danielson for a minute, though. You know, we were talking about Danielson and what he did and how he kind of, speaking of guys who kind of got better as the season went along, that's the read on Danielson. And you mentioned a Brandon team that really was not good, led them in scoring. They were, you know, he kind of developed his game from, you know, a two-way, 200-foot guy to a guy who could be counted on in all the offensive situations, top-line center, top power play time, a guy that as good as he is, as skilled as he is, as big and strong as he is, the head for the game, he fits a need in Pittsburgh as well, right? Like, Sidney Crosby and Evgeny Malkin remain great players, but they're not going to remain great players forever. And you got to start backfilling there, you know, for when those guys, I mean, look, at 35 and 30, 36, they still were the Penguins' top two scorers for this season, which is probably part of the reason the Penguins are even in the draft lottery at this point. But they need more help. They need so much help on as far as building their prospect pipeline. You can add a guy like Danielson, best player available, also fills a need. I think to me, that's an easy decision if I'm sitting there with what's gone before, if I'm the Pittsburgh Penguins.
As you said, Adam, the Penguins need a lot. So just go best available here. Don't mess around. Nate Danielson would be a fine choice. I went Gabe Perreault. He wasn't in part of my mocks yet. So go Gabe Perreault here, a solid right wing, leading the NCDP in goals, assists, points this season, before finishing second among players at the U18 Worlds with 18 points in 7 games. So a great, great season by Gabriel Perreault. At number 15, the Nashville Predators. Adam, we're in agreement since early in the draft.
This is stunning. Usually, there's always that weird spot where we come together and have the same idea. It always, confuses and delights me that it happens like this. But Axel Sandin Pelikka, number 15 to the Nashville Predators. So for me, my mindset here was they need depth in Nashville, right? They need help on the back end. One of the reasons they didn't make the playoffs is because they got a couple of injuries on the back end. Ryan McDonough missed some time. They really didn't have the depth to fill in behind him when guys like that went out. You have a chance to add something to the prospect pipeline. Sandin Pelikka won't help you next season, but two seasons down the line, a guy with that much skill, 36 points in 31 games in Sweden's junior league, he's not the biggest guy in the world, but he's not afraid to play physical. Every scout you talk to says he's a guy who's willing to take the body when the moment arises. So you've got a guy with that much skill who's got a little feistiness to his game. I think it's a good pick for Nashville in this spot.
Yeah, Barry Trotz will be taking over as GM of Nashville, and he's shown a lot of patience in the past as a coach, and I'm sure he'll do the same as a general manager. And I think 2 years is reasonable. I think maybe 3 years trying to work and develop on your game in the Swedish league would be good for Sandin Pelikka. Has that. The size, 5'11", 176. He showed a lot at the World Juniors. We were both impressed by what he brought. He compensates for that lack of size with that smarts and that understanding of the game. So it'll be interesting. And as you mentioned, Adam, there are no real defensive prospects in the pipeline to consider in Nashville. Maybe Ryan Ufko from the University of Massachusetts, but more is needed. And Sandin Pelikka would be a special player. I think a great pick here if they're able to get him. And then number 16, Adam, we wrap it up here. The Calgary Flames, I had Otto Stenberg from Frölunda in Sweden, really offensively gifted. And at this point in the draft, I'm just kind of looking. I know you want to fill needs here and there, maybe later in the draft. But at this point in the draft, middle of the first round, I think I'm just looking for best available. And that was Stenberg for me and what he could bring. Now, obviously Calgary, Matt Coronato from Harvard, they drafted last year. Jacob Pelche is in the American Hockey League, another top forward. But Stenberg is a solid center to bring in and work with. Good work ethic, from what scouts have said. The ability to come up big in clutch situations has been, his calling card. And he can play center or wing, so he's versatile on that aspect. So that's what I like about Stenberg and why I think he's a great pick here for Calgary at number 16.
Yeah, I had a scout tell me they loved Stenberg at the World Under 18s and moved him a lot up in their eyes on their draft board. For me, it's Samuel Hanzek. He's a guy that we really didn't get a chance to see a lot of. He had a bad injury at the World Juniors. He got his skate cut, missed, I believe, 2 months. If he had played a full season, I'm wondering if we'd even be talking about him in the middle of the middle of the first round. We wouldn't be talking about him a little bit higher up. Comes over from Slovakia, has a fantastic season with Vancouver in the Western League, showed he can make plays off the rush. Big boy, 6'3", 186. He's got a really nice shot, quick hands, quick wrist, gets that shot off quick. I think, they're looking for skill in Calgary, right? They're looking for guys who can get the puck on net, be big, be strong. They've always had this hard to play against image. I think Hanzek kind of fits that because of how big and how strong he is, but he's a really good skater. So, I mean, look, Stenberg would be a good pick. And like you said, at this point, you're looking for best available. And best available, I mean, gosh, you look through the guys that we didn't mention.
Yeah.
a guy like Callum Ritchie, a guy like Quentin Musty. You know, there are so many top end guys. You know, I didn't have Braden Yeager on my list. You did. Neither one of us had Colby Barlow, Andrew Crystal, Ethan Gauthier. There's a lot of guys that we haven't got through. Gavin Brindley is someone that we've heard a lot about. You know, he rose a lot based on, you know, what he did at World Juniors in the second half of the season at the University of Michigan. You know, there's a lot of guys that, you know, best available is going to encapsulate a lot of these guys that we just kind of touched on that we haven't really dug deep on yet.
Yeah. Another player that, you know, we've known about that Central Scouting told us about that we watched on tape was Bradley Nadeau of Penticton, you know, those BCHL players, right? The Andrew Ladds, the Tyson Jost, the Dante Fabros, Cliff Ronnings, you know, all those guys. Bradley really had a fantastic season, led the BCHL in points this year, had a great playoff. And, you know, he's middle in the pack here on the final ranks. And he's another player that, you know, when you talk about ceilings, we talk about Michkov, we talk about, you know, Wood and what he's been able to do and the ceiling he has. If he's drafted middle of this first round, I think Nadeau is in that mix as well. This is a player that could really, with, you know, 2-3 years of good nurturing, could become a phenomenal NHL player.
Well, that's the wonderful thing about this year's draft, right? There's so much talent. You know, the guys that we think could go 16 could end up in the top 10. Mm-hmm. They could end up in the bottom of the first round, and guys that we think, you know, are in the bottom could move up, because you look at this group and there's so much projectable high-end talent there. That's what makes us, you talked about earlier how much fun we have doing these. Makes it difficult when you have so much talent to parse through, and the differences are hair's breadth. Like, yeah, there's not a lot of difference between a lot of these guys.
And you know what's going to be funny, Adam, is our next mock. And we'll have another mock coming out that maybe in a month, whatever it might be. But the next mock, it could be entirely different because of the thought process, because of people who maybe we spoke to, because of how players performed in big games, in the Memorial Cup or whatever might be happening at that moment. So things could change from now until, you know, the next month. So we'll see.
Well, that's why you need to stay listening to NHL Draft Class, because we are going to have all the information that you possibly need. Previous episodes, we've spoken to Connor Bedard. If you want to hear Connor Bedard in his own words talk about, he's been to Chicago in the past. Mike kind of referenced it a little bit, but you can go back and listen to Connor Bedard talk about, you know, his season. We've had Dan Marr on and some of the other great minds from the NHL Central Scouting, and we're going to have more on as we get closer to the draft. So go back and listen to previous episodes of NHL Draft Class. Subscribe, download. It's free anywhere you enjoy your podcast. So there's a lot to look forward to as we get closer to, well, the first scouting combine coming up here in the beginning of June, and then as we head to Nashville for the drafts.
Ramp it up, Adam. Get the coffee pot ready, buddy. Get the coffee pot ready.
That's it. So as we said earlier, you can, if you want to read more about our mock drafts, you can find them on NHL.com. Stay tuned there. We'll have all of our stories on .com. You can follow us on social media. I am at NHL Adam K on Twitter. Mike?
At Mike Moriel, NHL.
As for now, NHL Draft Class is dismissed.